And how was your day today? Was it a little more peaceful than yesterday? Yes? So today, actually when Nizarbai asked me to participate, and then I thought what to talk about, because I was kind of specializing in conflict resolution, which is kind of what I've studied a little bit. But then my latest thing is this aspect of creating my reality, which is actually a little different from the secret that Neville mentioned. Because in the secret, right, you've all heard of the DVD, right, The Secret, and that focuses a lot on materialism and wealth and, well, again, physical power. And the other thing is it doesn't really give you tips on how to deal with lack of accomplishment. Do you see? So if there's failure, it doesn't really guide you or teach you as to how to, you know, deal with that. And so really over the last 8 to 10 months, I have been practicing this, which is creating my reality using the power of my thoughts. Because I was getting to this stage, especially in the region that I'm working with, and I was thinking, you know, I can't do a lot using words. Because in those regions, you can't be as open as in India. You can't just go and say, we're Brahma Kumaris, and this is what we have to offer, and you know. And so more and more, especially as the crisis is increasing and the terrorism is increasing, I was thinking, what could I be doing sitting in my home or in the center, and how can I be helping that region? And so more and more, I, of course, we know I've been practicing power of thought, but more and more then I started to do these experiments on really empowering the mind and using thought to accomplish things. And I started with small things, actually, and I started with like just parking spots. So really, before you get to the mall or before you get to your office, you start vibing the parking spot, you know, and you start saying, I deserve the parking spot. Or if you're shopping, you say, you know, my time is valuable and I deserve easy parking. I deserve a flow. I deserve this space. And really, as you start vibing it, sure enough, more and more, it continued to happen. And then I started doing it with students, and say there was something I had to share with the students. And then again, before I sit with them, I started visualizing them in my meditation. And I said, okay, I need to say something to you. This is what I need to say to you. But you know what? I don't want this to be difficult. I want it to be easy. And really, when I'd sit with them, then sometimes they would turn around and say, you know, this is my issue, this is my problem. And it was amazing. It was like my work was halved because I didn't have to, you know, make it so difficult, or they didn't get so defensive. So really, I'm really trying to come from experience when I'm sharing these things. And this is the message that I'd like to pass on to you, that basically, so first and foremost, we are vibrational beings, yeah? In other words, each one of us in this room are emitting a certain vibration. Do you all agree? For example, if some angry person walked into the room, what would be the vibration? Even if they didn't say anything. But this has the pointer. You mean okay. Too many things. Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, what I'm saying is, so if an angry person were to walk in, even if he didn't say anything, you would feel the heat of his vibration, wouldn't you? And the other day you saw Daddy Janki walk in, didn't you? And then you can feel her vibration, right? So we'll see a few other pictures like that. So here we go. I was a fan of Andre Agassi. And just visualize these people now. I mean, if you know them, even better. And just see what vibration they're emitting. Cinderella, Fantasy World. Each one of them is vibrating a different frequency, aren't they? And depending on your mood, right? Depending on your mood, you will watch tennis, or you will watch comedy, or you will watch Disney, or you will listen to a religious program, depending on your mood, right? Just register that, depending on your mood. So every one of us, including everyone out there, is emanating a vibration and aura. So first thing to be aware of is that we are spiritual beings on a physical journey and not physical beings on a spiritual journey. And this was kind of what I was trying to share yesterday. It's not that I have a soul. It's that I am a soul and I have a body. And this is a very big paradigm shift in our understanding. Because when paradigms shift, and this was for me actually my turning point, in my life. I mean, I came across this quite young. But one day my mother came home from the morning class and she said, Anu's my nickname. She said, Anu, look, everything around you in this room is one day going to be destroyed. So I'd like you to just look around everything, the flowers, the lights, the table, the mic, the chair, everything. Everything was created and will one day be destroyed. And she said, but the only thing that won't be destroyed is the soul. And for me, that was such a wake-up lesson. And I was really only 14 at the time. And then I remember that week, I said to my friends, I said, you know what, this is what my mom has said. Let's try and find something to prove her wrong. So I remember going around that week trying to find something in the world to tell her, no, see, this will not be destroyed. But you know what? We couldn't find anything. And then after that, the end of that week, I thought, wow, my mom is becoming smart. And, you know, she didn't have any education. She was one of those who, you know, didn't have any education. So I thought, wow, my mom's learning some smart things there. And then that's when I started to get serious. So really, this is a big turning point. If you start believing that I'm a spiritual being, which means I'm emanating spiritual energy through the physical, right? The purpose of life, I believe, is to express and experience. Everything we do is to express and to experience. So right now, we're also expressing and experiencing. I'm expressing my thoughts, but you're also expressing through your faces and nods, and you know, you're expressing your understanding or appreciation, or there's one person yawning who I think is getting bored, right? No? Okay. So all the time we are attracting things to ourselves, and this is a big question actually. In fact, I do this more like a workshop. If we had more time, I would do it more as a journaling workshop where I get you to answer some of these reflective questions. So we always ask the question, why me, why now, why here? Have you ever asked yourself the question, like, why are you, you know, where you are, married to who you are, living where you are? Like, it's been a series of events, hasn't it? And a series of decisions. A series of events, but you have decided. It's been a choice, and you have decided to be there, to do that, etc. And sometimes those decisions may be difficult, but you still had a choice. Okay, we'll come to that in a minute. So what am I attracting in my life? And ask yourself, how do you want your life to be for the rest of your life? You want it to be average, or you want it to be memorable? Right. So then we have to create memorable experiences. So back to my this philosophy, that if the purpose of life is to express and experience, then why don't I express the best and why don't I experience the best? In other words, why don't I pack away in the suitcase of my soul only the best memorable experiences? Right? When we travel, we have to travel light, right? Especially these days, they're getting strict, right? The other day I was on Indigo and they would not allow an extra kilo without me paying for it. So too, we are on a soul journey. And so we have to really be careful of what we are putting away. In other words, what we are registering, but also what we are storing. There is no place, no margin for negativity, hatred, revenge, none of that. Because that's just baggage, right? It's just going to take up extra space in your soul. So anyway, back to this. Just ask yourself the question, what have I attracted in my life that has created the reality that it has? Just reflect on that. Don't need to answer me. But somewhere you have created whatever is your current reality, whether you're stressed, whether you're happy, whether you're confused, whether you're in debt, whether you're successful, anything. But you, through your actions, through your choices, have created that. And I know it's a hard truth to digest sometimes because we always want to point the finger at somebody else. But I'll come to why it's important that you chose. Okay, so the point is that everything we do, we are emitting a frequency. Every thought creates a vibration, and a vibration is a signal to the universe. Whatever frequency or signal we are emitting, we get that. In other words, we get tuned into that. So for example, let's just take the classic. If you want more peace in your life and you're an angry person, should you focus on the anger or should you focus on the peace?
Peace.
Anger?
Peace.
Peace. Because this is another belief. You know, some people think I should work on getting rid of my anger or I should work on getting rid of my ego. No. Because even though I think about it, I'm giving energy to it. Think about it. Because the mind, I'm sure Neville has better language than me on this, but the mind does not register the negative. The mind registers the word because the mind is more visual. So the mind is registering the anger. So when you keep saying, don't want anger, the mind says, more anger, you know? And you just highlight more anger in your life. And think about it, where you send your energy, so there's a nice statement we use here, where attention goes, energy flows. Where energy flows, life grows. So even though it's something you don't want, you're still putting your energy to that. And it's the same for people. When you say, I don't like this person, I hate this person, I don't want anything to do with this person. You know what? You're giving that person energy. You're giving that person power. The best thing would be not to think about them, not to give them any space in your mind. Give energy, give power to more of what you want. I guess that's partly why this is one of the last sessions, because we will kind of try and sum up what you want, and then at the end we'll do a meditation on how to kind of manifest that, right? So we'll do a nice little manifestation meditation on that. So just the thing about the frequency though. The thing about the frequency is, what is your frequency? And I'm just adding pictures because these are all very serious subjects and they just add a little humor to the idea. So, yeah, Gloria, I was thinking about you and she's not very happy, right? So basically, yeah, what we think, we manifest. What we think, we create. So just this idea of frequency now. If you are tuned in, right, to 99.9, which is, say, pop station, pop radio, and say you want BBC, which is 102 point whatever. If you want BBC, you need to be tuned in, right, to that frequency of 102 point whatever. If you don't change that frequency, then you're going to keep hearing the pop, aren't you? So this is what we're talking about, is in the soul, what Raj Yoga is telling us is firstly, yes, you're a soul, you're not the body, so again, shift in frequency, and then more of that, in other words, more of soul consciousness, more of operating from the third dimension, looking with the third eye, listening with the third ear. In other words, don't just hear what's being said. Try and hear beyond that. Try and hear the message beyond that. So now you've already started to fine-tune your frequency. And so this is the point. Sorry, I don't know, somebody's calling me. So this is the thing. We have to really fine-tune the frequency and get clear on what it is that we want, and not what it is we don't want. See, what we don't want is like a guidance system. By knowing what we don't want, we already know what we do want. Okay? Let's say, for example, somebody's complaining, right? That somebody's complaining, this room is too small, or this room is too stuffy, or, you know, this too tight space. Say somebody's making complaints about the room. Should I focus on the complaints? Or should I focus on inquiry, on discovery, and say, okay, how do you see it better than this?
Inquiry.
Yes. Yeah. So then they would say, well, yeah, I think it would be good if we had more windows, we had more air, we can make it a little more spacious. And then when you see, when you shift their vision, right, onto the positive, and many times we don't do this, or we don't have the time to do this, because again, we take things personally, we think, oh, it's about me, they're criticizing me, they're defaming me, they don't like what I've done, and I take it personally, and I don't become objective enough to really see what's behind their message. So I take the complaint and I say, okay, what would you like to see more of? And they say, well, I think it would be better if, you know, X, Y, and Z. And we say, great, those are really good ideas. Let's implement them. Do you see? So this is the thing. Let's focus on more the positive. Let's create the frequency. So again, question here to you. What more do you want in your life? And we'll tell you how to put more energy to that, but let's just get more clear on what more would you like in your life. Would you like more peace, more shanti, success? Even success is a misleading word. What is success? You know, because I feel like if you're not successful from inside out, then what's the point? Right? They say there is no power without control. So if there's no mind control, then what's the point of all this power? You can have like a Ferrari that goes 300 kilometers an hour, but if you don't have the ability to put the brakes, what's the point? Right? You cause an accident. So it's great having a Ferrari, but the ability to stop in time, or the ability to assess in time what it is you need to do. And so here, yes, we come to choice. Every single day, you make a choice, right? It's up to you to sit here or to sit here, right? The bus is empty. It's up to you. And some people keep choosing the same things over and over again. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Okay? So if I want to change something in that, I have to make a different choice. And this is what we teach in Raj Yoga, actually, that there's the mind, the intellect, and the sanskars. So the mind thinks the thoughts, but the intellect has to choose. It has to filter. How do we become the Raja, right? We're learning Raja Yoga. How do we become the Raja, the master over us, over the senses? It's by making the right choice. And who has choice, a master or a slave? Right. So again, now, just rethink what you've said. You said a master has a choice. So if at any point, right, you say, I don't have a choice in this situation, what are you saying? Exactly. So what Raj Yoga is telling you is that at every moment, at every step, I have a choice. Even if you think that I didn't have a choice in marrying this person, but you had a choice in how to deal with the marriage. You see, somewhere you had a choice. So just remember that at every moment I have a choice, because I'm the master, and because I'm the master, that's why I'm able to rule my life. I'm able to master my life. And at no point in time should I feel that life is kind of happening to me. I should feel that I'm creating my life. In other words, I create in my mind the perfect life, and actually that's what I've been doing over the years, that, you know, this is what I'd like to do, and this is how I'd like to have my life. And really, it's been happening. You have to water that vision every day and you manifest it. And especially as like Neville was saying, if you do have that positive intention, if there's goodwill and good intention, then there's no reason why it shouldn't happen. So when you leave from here today, we'll make sure that you plant some seeds. And so we all have a choice. We don't exercise it. Yes, choice brings responsibility. So again, you see, when I'm blaming somebody, then I'm giving them the power. So if I say you are to be blamed for my unhappiness, right, or you make me unhappy, then what am I really saying? That only you can make me happy. So in other words, I've given my remote to you, right? You can press my buttons and make me happy or unhappy. And that's not the case, right? Raj Yoga is saying, no, you are the master. You generate your happiness from inside out. So really, when I say I have a choice, then responsibility, responsibility. I have the ability to respond to life's situations. Sometimes it's just a moment. You just need to step away for a moment and get a little clarity. And then we say actually SOS. Step back, observe, and then steer. Steer in the right direction. And sometimes you might just need to step away. You can't deal with it. So it's better not to say something or do something and create a different karma. It's better to just, you know, stay in limbo, stagnant until you get a little more clarity. And, yes, anybody been in this situation? Right, your flight's been delayed, and how do you?
Respond,
good. So respond versus react, okay? Respond means to ponder over, to think about. And react means to reenact it again. So what does reenact mean here? So obviously, you know, he's had a past experience of my flight being delayed, and this is what happens when my flight is delayed and I couldn't cope with it, and I replay that scenario in my mind again. Right? So for example, another example, you're at home and you have a little conflict with your spouse or your children. And you're driving to work, and of course you give it more energy, right? Driving to work. How dare they said this, and why did they say this, and I'm not very happy with them. And you know, you just give it more energy as you're going to work. You get to the office and the receptionist says, good morning, sir, good morning, madam. And you say, no, it's not. Don't talk to me. I'm not happy. So what have you done? You have reenacted that scenario from home, right? You've brought home to work and you've played out that scenario again. Another example would be like, you might tolerate me, right? If I'm picking my nose, right? You might tolerate me once or twice. But then, third time, fourth time, you will remember, won't you? Remember means remember. You'll reconnect. You said, oh, she did that before. She's done that so many times. And we replay this scenario in our mind so many times. And then our tolerance level goes low. Initially, we're polite, right? Our politeness, our manners give us this restraint to tolerate. But then, when we become familiar, right? Familiarity breeds contempt. So when we become familiar, then I start to react. So the answer to something like this, for me, which I'm experimenting with, is I'm saying every scenario is a new scenario. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying, this doesn't have to go the same way the last one went. Let me be open to the newness. This is how I'm dealing with, like, say, delayed flights or things not happening. And again, trying to project more energy on positivity, making it work rather than, oh, see, Air India never flies on time, or see, you know, like, because we get into these patterns, don't we, of thinking negative. And so how often do we give our power away? Okay, let me just paint a picture for you here, and then I'll just show you the clips. Maybe you've heard this story. We normally use it with cookies in the West. But say I'll use it with Haldiram, right? Haldiram is your sweet shop, isn't it? Right? So, okay, say for example you're at the airport and you see this Haldiram little shop and you buy for yourself this packet of, say, Son Papri, right? Everybody likes Son Papri? Very nice, isn't it? So you buy yourself a packet and then you find yourself a space, a seat, and you go and sit down and you put the bag down, you just settle, you know, into your seat, you know, manage your phone and whatever, boarding pass, passport, etc. And then you reach down and you pick up your packet and you open it and you start eating your Son Papri. Okay? And now this person next to you, right, reaches out and takes this Son Papri and starts eating it. And you go, how dare he? How dare he eat from my packet? And he's not even asking me. How rude. How can somebody do this? So you say, okay, fine. I'm not going to get into argument. I don't want to create new karma. So you just take another one, you eat it, and he does the same thing. Right? You're here, right, with your packet, even though you're like this now. But he reaches out, he takes it, and he eats it again. And you think, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to sit here and take this anymore. So then you pack up your things and you walk off. And as you're walking off, you realize that you were eating his packet of Son Papri. That yours is still there in the bag and it's still intact. But how many waste thoughts we created, you know? And how many waste negative thoughts we created about this person. And we did the damage to ourselves. That's the main thing. He, obviously, has done the Raj Yoga course. And he's responding peacefully. And he's a happy-go-lucky chap. You see? He took it well. He thought, you know what, that's okay. Let her eat. She doesn't know. She's ignorant. I'm happy to share. You see what thoughts were running in his mind? And here I am having all these negative thoughts. So many times, actually, what we do is we give our power away. How many times, even kids, you know, I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and, oh, you know, how many times we give our power away to situations, and we become victims, right? This is the victim. Victim consciousness means that I feel that things are being done to me. That I'm always the one. Like, you know, there's two types of people, right? The optimist and the pessimist. And so optimist thinks everything's great and everything's in my favor and everything's conspiring to help me. And the pessimist always thinks, no, somebody's out to get me. These people don't like me. The government doesn't like me. Police are after me. There's always this conspiracy thinking in the victim consciousness. Okay? But every time I lose my peace and my power, every time I lose my happiness, that means I've given my power away. And this is really one thing we try to practice in Raj Yoga, is don't give, no matter what, don't give away your peace and happiness for anything, because it doesn't measure, it doesn't value up. What is the price of your peace and happiness? If I give you $1 million, sir, would you be happier? No. Sister, would you be happier? Maybe just slightly. Yeah, you maybe have a few more massages and, you know, spa days and etc. But beyond that, not really. Because I always say, if you're not happy with a little, you will not be happy with a lot. So happiness is an internal quality, isn't it? It's generated from inside out. So if I'm saying that this makes me happy and that makes me happy and traveling makes me happy, then think about it. When that thing is taken away from me, then am I still happy? No. And again, I've given my power to these things. So money's good. You know, money's very good. But money is just a means. It's not the end and all. Money, yes, makes the world go round, but then, to be honest, my experience is that you can accomplish many things without money. You know, especially say on this path of seva. If somebody sees you're doing good work, would they not support it? So it's not just about money, but you need good relationships. You need good positive interactions. You need to be doing good work. In fact, Daddy always laughs and says, you know what, I don't have a handbag. I never carry money, and yet she's like globe-trotting, you know? So how? How is that possible? Because everybody believes in the work that she does, and they support it. Okay, so this is very important now. Inner work, and this is what we're constantly doing in Raj Yoga, is looking at ourselves, changing our thoughts, changing our beliefs. And beliefs, I don't mean religious beliefs, even beliefs like, I can do it, I can't do it, you know, this is good, that is bad. These are also, you know, self-restraining beliefs that we have created. Even women, I'm a woman, I can't do that. These are self-restraining beliefs, you know, that we've created. So we've got to learn to change them. And let me ask you, so, this is an iceberg, right? So the air is moving this way, okay, to the west. And the current, water current, is moving to the east. Which direction is the iceberg moving?
East.
Why?
Current is moving.
But air is also moving. The bigger part. Good. Is everybody clear on that? Maybe some of you thought the air. Who thought air? Well, okay, good. So, yes, bigger part, the greater mass is at the bottom. That's why it'll move, which way did I say? This way. Yeah, east. So what does that tell us? What that tells us is that what you can see is your character, your habits, your actions, your words, but the attitudes, perceptions, feelings, beliefs, thoughts, desires, this is all below the surface. This cannot be seen. It cannot be seen, but it is driving you. It is driving the direction of your life. So, again, it's going back to what is going on inside. We have to reflect, what is going on inside of me? And if I'm constantly stuck with negativity and complaints and dissatisfaction, and we don't get anywhere in life. So I need to create vision, and I need to water that vision, and I need to manifest that vision. So the point is that I need to look at all this under the surface, and that's what we're doing in meditation, actually. We are trying to clean ourselves out from inside out. In fact, in one meditation I had this visual image that, you know what, it's like I have to turn this body inside out. You know? Imagine that you cut it here, and I have to turn it inside out. In other words, what's inside has to come outside, and what's outside has to be merged inside. And it was a very powerful, powerful feeling. And of course, yes, increasing spiritual power is the key. Okay, so we need to create a vision. Everybody now, especially now, you're going from here, now what? What are you going to do? Where do I want to be? What does it look like and feel like? Okay? We always complain, right, that others have what I don't have, right? Why, he says. So he says, why not? And this is what I would say to you is, if you want something in your life, why would you not have it? Really, think about this. Why would I not have what I want in my life? Because we are very powerful beings. And even if you look at it from a human aspect, human beings are considered more powerful, right, in the whole race. In terms of we build cities and we create satellites and we go out into space. I mean, the human intellect is very, very powerful. So even as a human being, we are powerful, right? Now add spirituality to that, add spiritualism, add the spiritual intellect to that, and we're really powerful beings. So why would I not be able to create, you know, what I want? Just let me give you an example. You know, you have these big hills in San Francisco, right? Or maybe other countries too, but particularly San Francisco, it's very hilly, right? And the cars are going like this. So if you have a car at the top and you forgot to put the handbrake on and you're at the top, you can maybe easily just catch the car, right, and stop it, right? Maybe you can run fast enough, get into the car and manage to stop the car. If that car is already rolling and gets to the bottom, what has happened? What's built up?
Momentum.
Momentum has built up. Okay? And then obviously it's much more difficult to stop that car at the bottom of the hill. Right? It's going to actually run you over. So the point here is, when something begins in the form of thought, stop it there and then. Nip it in the bud. Don't delve into the negativity. We don't have time for negative thinking. We don't have time for pessimism. Okay? Stop it before the momentum builds up. And you can know your own life and situations. When, say, you really don't like somebody, it's because you've been thinking about them, thinking about the situation, thinking about how it's affected you. You've given it so much life that the momentum is built up, and that's why you can't, you know, resist it, can't stop it. So the point is here, where do I want to be? And let me create very powerful thoughts for that. Let me visualize that. But of course, I would add where you want to be in terms of your qualities. If you have the qualities, if you want, say, security can come in many ways, not just financial security or a house or a car or assets. It could come in many ways, can't it? So don't say, I want a house, I want a car. Like sometimes there's this joke, right, in India, that God wanted to give you so much, but all you asked for was an Austin Morris or something, and he wanted to give you a BMW or something, right? So just say, I need wheels for my transport. I want the best wheels for my transport. Be as general as possible. Say, I want to get to work as comfortably as possible. And then see what life, you know, brings. So anyway, yes, what I was saying here, feel the feeling, okay? Again, it's very important to tap in. I'm just quickly showing you this to give you an idea that there's more feelings than just good or bad. If I ask you now how you're feeling, you're probably saying good. But if you were to get a little more precise, maybe you feel loved or cared for or confident. Or, you know, because the thing is, again, it's about fine-tuning the frequency. Once I know where I'm at, then I can know how to fine-tune to where I need to get to. Okay, so again, there's not much time now. My time is running out. But just be conscious of this. And the point I want to make here, and that's what we were doing in the lab yesterday, is we don't spend enough time feeling the feeling. Because we're always rushing. In fact, really, right now, ask yourself, how am I feeling? Just ask yourself, how am I feeling? Because once we're in touch with our feeling, it's like we're in that being state. I, the soul, am at one with my drama. In fact, I came to this conclusion about 4 years ago that I keep saying, I have to be peaceful. But you know what? I have to be at peace. I have to be at peace with my drama. In other words, I have to be content with my drama and my life. It's not just enough me being peaceful, that's good, but I have to be now at peace with you, and I have to be at peace with Kuwait, and I have to be at peace with the Arabs, and I have to be at peace with the life and the lifestyle, you see? So think about that. How do I feel and how to be at peace? Okay, just very quickly through this. Tell me, how are you reading this? Happiness is?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Now here or nowhere?
Now here.
Sure, it's here?
Yes.
Good. It's up to you, isn't it, how you read it? Right? So happiness is a state of mind. Why I'm emphasizing on this is because everything we do for happiness, isn't it? Peace and happiness. These are the two basic, we say, mother qualities. If you're happy, other qualities can arise, blossom, right, from inside out. And also, there's a proven fact that happy people are 31% more productive than unhappy people. So really, again, I emphasize, don't lose your happiness. If there's one thing you take from here, is don't let anything steal your happiness. In Hindi, we say, aapki khushi, koi aapki khushi chin na sake, you know? Don't let anything steal your happiness. And cultivate an attitude of gratitude, right? Often what happens, right? She says, oh, if only I had her figure. Oh, if only I had her diamonds. If only I had his money. If only I had his wife. And we're never grateful. We are never satisfied with what we have. And when we really create this abundance consciousness, which is again what we are doing in the lab, really sit in the morning and meditate and say to yourself, you know what? I have everything that I need right here inside of me. And you do. I have everything that I need right here inside of me. Your peace is there, your love is there, your security is there, everything is there. And the more you create this, then really on the outer front, you will create the same. Because what's inside, right, we say, right, what's the software, becomes the program, right? It's the program you run in your life. Again, happy people focus on what they have, unhappy people focus on what's missing. And this is, again, we don't have much time, but again, just I'm leaving it to you now to think about, but learn to make peace with your past, because this is a very important aspect in me moving forward to creating my vision. A lot of the time we keep hold of everything that we've done that's irritated us, or our mistakes, or, you know, regrets, and they're like a ball and chain. And as we're moving forward, all this baggage is coming with us. And at some point, really, you have to, at some point, make it today, tonight, or tomorrow latest, but really make peace with your past and say, whatever I've done up to now, I could only do that the best that I knew. As wise as I was then, this is the decision that I could take. And from this point onwards, I'm going to be more conscious, I'm going to be more aware. And really try to let go. I know it's easier said than done, but really, we have to let go. Otherwise, we can't create more, because this is getting in the way. It becomes a block and a barrier. So focus more on what you have rather than what you don't have. The other thing is, again, as you leave here, do a lot of focusing on self-talk. So even if, yes, you know, you're wounded, but you keep saying to yourself, I'm great, I'm great. And okay, it might be the case of fake it till you make it. But that's okay. Because the message you're sending to your subconscious is, everything's cool, everything's great, everything's abundant, everything's successful. And really you will manifest it in that way. But again, when we sit in meditation, think about it. Can you meditate when you're angry? No. So firstly, when you sit to meditate, you already create this consciousness of peace and calm, don't you? A consciousness of positivity. So from that place then, you create these powerful thoughts. So self-talk is the conversation that's going on inside of us, actually, all the time. And again, it's up to you, isn't it? What conversation you want going on. So sometimes we say, oh, I'm stupid, I'm pathetic, I'm a failure, these are negative conversations going on in our mind. Is that how you would talk to a friend? Is that how you would talk to somebody you love? No, even if they were a failure, you'd say, no, don't worry, you know what, everything's going to be all right. So why don't we do this, you know, with ourselves, and just give ourselves that, we say TLC, tender loving care. Okay, I'm going to stop here. This is just information on my blog. I write an article every week, and there's been a few books published on that. So you can write to me on that or visit the blog. And there's a free app and articles, meditation commentaries. And there's also a free download of the the conflict resolution book for those of you who want, and if for leaders, if you want a copy and give it to your employees, it's very useful. And anyway, that's how you can contact me if you need to. Okay? So let's end now with some meditation. Am I doing the meditation? Yeah, okay. So let's stop now and